The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Mike Edwards with another edition of the Armchair Traveler from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. And over the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from the News and Observer, the Washington Post, and time permitting, maybe even AAA Go Magazine. Now, before we begin our journey on today's Armchair Traveler, let me remind you that neither the Triangle Radio Reading Service nor I are endorsing any of the cruises, safaris, tours, or other travel itineraries that might be featured in the articles we will be reading. They are selected merely for your enjoyment and edification. On today's Armchair Traveler, we will focus on a single theme mostly, and it's going to require that we resume our 50 States trip series we began a couple of episodes ago in a future episode. We are starting our journey by stepping back in time to February 4th, 2017. Now, that's the day that my wife Carolyn and I stood just a football field's distance from the rim of the Kilauea volcano on the Big Island, also known as Hawaii. It was a mostly sunny day, and temperatures were in the 70s, when we could see the steam rising from the lava crust that covered the mouth of Kilauea. Now, at the nearby observation center and volcano research facility, we watched seismographs record active tremors, and other instruments monitored the wind speed and direction and gas levels. Now, local television kept carrying video during our visit. We were there for about 10 days. Kept carrying video of this lava flow that went through a lava tunnel from Kilauea out to the shoreline, where it created a spectacular, what they call, fire hose. It's just like a big, huge, arcing, glowing fire hose. The lava pouring out from the side of the lava wall into the Pacific Ocean. Now, this was our first time visiting a live volcano, and today Kilauea is in the headlines nearly every day as lava flow continues amid signs of much more to come. Associated Press writers Sophia Yan and Seth Borenstein captured the latest signs in their article, Kilauea Park Closes for Fear Volcano Will Explode, and that headline has continued in the latest episodes as we record the program, and it's from the May 12, 2018 issue of the News and Observer that we read as we start our program. The national park around Hawaii's Kilauea was off limits to visitors Friday, and that would be about Friday a week ago, for fear of the volcano would blow its top in the coming days and hurl ash and boulders the size of refrigerators miles into the air. That's quite a picture, isn't it? If it goes up, it will come down, said Charles Mandeville, volcano hazards coordinator for the U.S. Geological Survey. You don't want to be underneath anything that weighs 10 tons when it's coming at about 120 miles an hour. An explosive eruption could also ground planes at one of Big Island's two major airports and release steam and toxic sulfurous fumes. The volcano has been sputtering lava for a week, forcing about 2,000 people to evacuate, destroying two dozen homes and threatening a geothermal plant. Scientists are now warning of the possibility of a violent eruption caused by trapped steam. The volcano park closed indefinitely Thursday night because of the risk. We know the volcano is capable of doing this, Mandeville said, citing similar explosions at Kilauea in 1925, 1790, and four other times over the last few thousand years. We know it is a distinct possibility. The danger zone from such a blast could extend about 3 miles from the summit, land that all falls within the national park, Mandeville said. No one lives in the immediate area of the summit. He would not estimate the likelihood of such an explosion, but said internal volcanic conditions are changing in a way that could lead to a blast in about a week. And again, this is about that time as we record this that that is possible. Kilauea has destroyed 36 structures, according to this report, including 26 homes since May 3rd, and that number continues to rise. When it began releasing lava from vents about 25 miles east of the summit crater, 15 vents are now spread through the Leilani Estates and the Lanapuna Gardens neighborhoods. Governor George Ige said crews at a geothermal energy plant near the lava outbreak accelerated the removal of stored flammable fuel as a precaution. The Puna Geothermal Venture plant had about 50,000 gallons of pentane. It was removed early Thursday. Barbara Lozano, who lives within a mile of the plant, says she would have thought twice about buying her property if she had known the risk. Why did they let us buy residential property knowing it was a dangerous situation? Why did they let people build all around it, she asked. Avani Love, 29, moved to the Big Island about a month ago from Maui with her four children. They evacuated their home May 3rd and found out it was destroyed when a relative went back to get some belongings. She said she was sad to lose her home, but also felt a sense of renewal, brought on by Pele, the Hawaiian volcano goddess. She said the eruption was Pele's way of correcting overpopulation on the island. If the volcano blows its stack, communities about 2 miles away could be showered with pea-sized rocks or dusted with non-toxic ash, said Tina Neal, scientist in charge at the Hawaii Volcano Observatory. The small town of Volcano, Hawaii, population 2,500, is about 3 miles from the summit. Well, an Associated Press account in the May 5th, 2018 issue of the Washington Post, the latest geologists say more Hawaii lava outbreaks likely, provides a very timely picture of just how quickly things changed when Kilauea began to erupt. And our dateline is Pahoa on the Big Island. So this is kind of a timeline of what was happening in the earlier stages of this latest outbreak. And the latest on a volcanic eruption on the Big Island of Hawaii, these times are local. It was 1:45 p.m. on May 4th. Geologists say Hawaii's Kilauea volcano is likely to release more lava through more vents as it continues to erupt in a residential neighborhood on the Big Island. The Hawaiian Volcano Observatory says scientists aren't able to forecast exactly where the lava will appear, but they noted the most recent outbreaks were preceded by cracks in the ground and the release of steam and gas. Lava began spewing into the sky through fissures in the ground in the Leilani Estates neighborhood on Thursday. Small lava flows formed on Saturday. Hawaii County has ordered evacuations for over 1,700 people living in Leilani Estates and neighboring Lanapuna Gardens. Residents are also being warned to watch out for dangerous levels of sulfuric acid. And those conditions, by the way, continue and worsen as we record this approximately a week after this report. And next, on May 4th at 1:05 p.m., officials say lava spurting into a residential neighborhood on Hawaii's Big Island has destroyed 5 homes. Hawaii County spokeswoman Janet Snyder said Saturday that's the total number of homes burned in the 2 days since Volcano Kilauea, began shooting lava out of its vents in Leilani Estates. The vents began opening in the mostly rural district on Thursday. There are now 8 of them, though only 2 are active as of Saturday, and that would be about May 6th. Each fissure is several hundred yards or meters long. Hawaii County has ordered evacuations of over 1,700 people living in Leilani Estates and neighboring Lanapuna Gardens. Residents are also being warned to watch out for dangerous levels of sulfuric gas. Now, at 10:55 a.m. on May 4th, lava bubbling out of 2 vents as Kilauea volcano erupts in a residential neighborhood on Hawaii's Big Island. Hawaii County spokeswoman Kanani Anton says at least 2 of 8 vents that have formed since Thursday are actively sputtering lava. A few others are releasing steaming gas, while the oldest of the vents aren't doing anything. She says the vents are following a pattern of releasing steam and gas, then splattering lava, and then releasing steam again before going quiet. Hawaii County has ordered evacuations for over 1,700 people living in Leilani Estates and neighboring Lanapuna Gardens. Now, at 10 a.m. on May 4th, the U.S. Geological Survey says a total of 8 fissures have opened as Kilauea volcano erupts and releases into a residential area on Hawaii's Big Island. Fissures are vents where lava is spurting out of the ground into the air. They began forming in the Leilani Estates neighborhood on Thursday. The U.S. Geological Survey geologist Janet Babb says there were 8 by Saturday morning, 2 more than what was calculated the night before. The lava has burned at least 2 homes. Hawaii County has ordered evacuations for over 1,700 people living in Leilani Estates and neighboring Lanapuna Gardens. Now, on Friday, this would be May 5th, a magnitude 6.9 earthquake struck the area as magma shifted through the volcano. And then at 6:30 p.m. Friday, May 4th, sputtering lava, earthquakes, toxic jolts, jolted the southern part of the Big Island of Hawaii as magma shifted underneath the restless erupting Kilauea volcano. The trifecta of natural threats forced stressed out residents to evacuate and prompted the closure of parks and college campuses. Officials say two new vents where lava was spurting out of the ground formed in the same residential neighborhood where molten rock first emerged. The magnitude 6.9 earthquake struck at midday. It was the biggest of hundreds of quakes this week and the largest to strike the state in 43 years. Residents were also warned to watch out for dangerous levels of sulfuric gas. Hawaii Volcanoes National Park evacuated all visitors and non-emergency staff. The quake triggered rock slides on trails and crater walls. So that's a timeline report of what went on in the first couple of days there as Kilauea began spewing and becoming very active. And again, it was active with steam, and you could see the lava boiling when we were there more than a year ago. Now, while residents of the Big Island keep close watch on Kilauea, Associated Press writer Nicholas Geranios explains that Hawaii volcano raises concerns of eruptions along the west coast, and we're talking about the western coast of the continental United States. His article appeared in the May 13, 2018 issue of the News and Observer. The eruption of a Hawaii volcano in the Pacific Ring of Fire has experts warily eyeing volcanic peaks on America's west coast that are also part of the geologically active region. The west coast is home to an 800-mile chain of 13 volcanoes from Washington State's Mount Baker to California's Lassen Peak. They include Mount St. Helens, whose spectacular 1980 eruption in the Pacific Northwest killed dozens of people and sent volcanic ash across the country, and massive Mount Rainier, which towers above the Seattle metro area. There's lots of anxiety out there, said Liz Westby, geologist at the U.S. Geological Survey Cascades Volcano Observatory in Vancouver, Washington, in the shadow of Mount St. Helens. They see destruction and people get nervous. Kilauea, on Hawaii's Big Island, is threatening to blow its top in coming days or weeks after sputtering lava for a week, forcing about 2,000 people to evacuate, destroying two dozen homes, and threatening a geothermal plant. Experts fear the volcano could hurl ash and boulders the size of refrigerators miles into the air. Now, here are some key things to note, as Geranios writes in his article, and this is a question and answer format going forward. Question, what is the Ring of Fire? Answer, roughly 450 volcanoes make up this horseshoe-shaped belt with the Kilauea situated in the middle. The belt follows the coast of South America, North America, Eastern Asia, Australia, and New Zealand. It's known for frequent volcanic and seismic activity caused by the colliding of crustal plates. America's most dangerous volcanoes are all part of the Ring of Fire, and most are on the west coast, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Besides Kilauea, they include Mount St. Helens and Mount Rainier in Washington, Mount Hood and South Sister in Oregon, and Mount Shasta and Lassen Volcanic Center in California. Images of lava flowing from the ground and homes going up in flames in Hawaii have stoked unease among residents elsewhere along the Ring of Fire. But experts say an eruption on one section of the arc doesn't necessarily signal danger in other parts. These are isolated systems, Westby said. Question, when will the West Coast volcanoes erupt? Answer, no eruption seems imminent, experts say. The Cascades Volcano Observatory monitors volcanoes in the Pacific Northwest and posts weekly status reports, all currently registered normal. But the situation can change fast. All our mountains are considered active, and geologically speaking, things seem to happen in the Northwest about every 100 years, said John Ufford, preparedness manager for the Washington Emergency Management Division. It's an inexact timeline, he noted. Some geologists believe Mount St. Helens is the most likely to erupt, but six other Cascade volcanoes have been active in the past 300 years, including steam eruptions at Mount Rainier and Glacier Peak and a 1915 blast at Lassen Peak that destroyed nearby ranches. Question, what kind of damage could they do? Answer, the Big Island, scenes of rivers of lava snaking through neighborhoods and sprouting fountains are unlikely in the Pacific Northwest. Lava is not the hazard per se like in Hawaii, said Ian Lang, a retired University of Montana geology professor. Cascade volcanoes produce a thicker, more viscous type of lava than Hawaiian volcanoes, so it doesn't run as far, Lang said. The Cascade volcanoes can produce huge clouds of choking ash and send deadly mudslides into rivers and streams. Two of the most potentially destructive are Mount St. Helens, north of the Portland, Oregon metro area, and 14,000-foot Mount Rainier, which is visible from the cities of Seattle and Tacoma. Mount Rainier Eruptions in the distant past have caused destruction as far west as Puget Sound, about 50 miles away. The volcano hasn't produced a significant eruption in the past 500 years, but it remains dangerous because of its great height, frequent earthquakes, active hydrothermal system, and 26 glaciers, experts said. An eruption on Mount Rainier could rapidly melt glaciers, triggering huge mudflows called lahars that could reach the densely populated surrounding lowlands, Westby said. Another major danger from a cascade volcano eruption would be a large amounts of ash thrown into the air where it could foul aircraft engines. Question, what are communities doing to prepare? Answer, the closest settlement to a West Coast volcano may be government camp on Oregon's Mount Hood. Lava could conceivably reach the town, but the greater threat is an eruption triggering a so-called pyroclastic flow, which is a fast-moving cloud of hot ash and gas, experts said. But Lang believes California's Mount Shasta is the most dangerous, in part because it's surrounded by towns. The town of Mount Shasta has numerous response plans for emergencies, including the volcano eruption, Police Chief Parrish Cross said. But the plan for a volcano is pretty fluid, he said. We don't know the size or scope of the event, Cross said, including which direction the eruption would occur. This is not an issue in Orton, Washington, where about 20 miles west of Mount Rainier. Orton would be directly in the path of the lahar, and local officials each year conduct drills in which children move from school to higher grounds to escape the flow. Students usually take about 45 minutes to walk the 2 miles to higher ground, which should be fast enough to escape, officials said. Our concern is ice and snow melting rapidly on Mount Rainier, said Chuck Morrison, a resident of the town of 7600, who has long been involved in evacuation planning. We need a quick way off the valley floor, he added. Orton is the town most vulnerable to lahar damage from Mount Rainier, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Scientists say that in the worst case, a 30-foot-high lahar with the consistency of wet concrete could rumble through Orton at 50 miles an hour if volcanic activity suddenly melted snow and ice on Rainier. Well, we've got a lot going on. As my wife and I spent weeks planning our trip to Hawaii, which included the day trip to see Kilauea, because we found out that planning is essential for so many reasons. And writer Janella M. Garrett is going to offer some tips when planning a hike you can take on an active volcano. And she says you must put safety before spectacle, her article in the May 4th, 2018 issue of the Washington Post. So let's see what she has to say. I peered out over the craggy rim of Etael, that's Ethiopia's most active volcano, at the lava lake below. Beneath the gassy haze, boiling ruby-red molten rock thickened and rose up, swelling like a tidal wave topped off by a fireworks of crashing surf. Earth is made up of blood and guts, I thought, just like me. I had stumbled upon the opportunity to hike to the 2,011-foot summit of Etael while planning a road trip across the ancient kingdoms and lakes of Ethiopia's Rift Valley. The East African Rift runs through Ethiopia's crusty northeastern Afar region. There, the shifting of the tectonic plates beneath the parched desert scape produces a chaos of fire and gases that can be seen at the top of Etael, which contains one of the world's 6 lava lakes. Though navigating congested urban streets represented the extent of my recent hiking prowess, I decided I had to climb the volcano. The 2-day trek turned out to be the most arduous and spectacular event in my month-long trip, and whetted my appetite for more. I'm not alone in my desire to gaze upon breathtaking vistas, watch heart-stopping pyrotechnics, and gain insight into the fiery depths of the planet we inhabit. Statistics from several sites and tour companies suggest that trips to both visit and hike volcanoes are climbing. Volcano Adventures, a tour company founded by German volcanologist Tom Pfeiffer, says its day trip excursions to Italy's Stromboli and Etna volcanoes have increased by 15.3% since 2014. The number of people climbing Mount Nyiragongo, an active stratovolcano in Virunga National Park in Congo, increased 92% between 2015 and 2017. A National Park Service report estimates a 58% increase in visitors at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park since 2008, when Kilauea, an active shield volcano, began erupting. And with its current activity, a 4.6 magnitude trembler struck on the Big Island on Thursday, that was May 3rd, and shook Kilauea, there's opportunity of more to come. Volcano tourism is set to rise with the establishment of more volcanic and geothermal geoparks and World Heritage sites, said guidebook author Patricia Efert Cooper, referring to the areas designated by UNESCO to protect the planet's geological heritage. The risk of being trapped, injured, or killed while hiking a live volcano, however, means one should undertake careful consideration and planning. Although I returned from my first trek with just a few minor cuts from stumbling over loose, razor-sharp rocks, I realized I should do some research before planning another. So I turned to several experts, including Rosalie Lopes, a senior scientist at the NASA Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, and author of the Volcano Adventure Guide, among others. Keep the following advice in mind when planning a volcanic adventure. Perhaps the most important tip is to consider obtaining travel insurance and extra coverage. As you'll see below, both natural and political conditions can change rapidly. And then she's offering us several tips, and they're arranged under subtopics as we continue. First, do your research. Find out as much as possible about the volcano you plan to visit before leaving home. Lopes advises, for example, which of the six eruption types does it exhibit? Hawaiian and Strombolian eruptions emit gentle lava flow and moderate eruptions, respectively. They represent the least dangerous types to watch. Plinian eruptions, similar in scale to the eruption of Mount Vesuvius in AD 79, refer to the extremely destructive ones. Beware, warns Lopes. No two volcanoes are alike, even if they are classified as the same type. For volcano research information online, you can check out the Smithsonian Institution's Global Volcanism Program and the U.S. Geological Survey's Volcano Hazards Program. Again, those programs are Smithsonian Institute's Global Volcanism Program and the U.S. Geological Survey's Volcano Hazards Program. Now, Lopes suggests preparing a checklist that includes information about the volcano's current and past activity, and find out whether your volcano destination is regularly monitored by scientists from a nearby university. Local experts and guides can provide invaluable details you might not find in general guidebooks. Take a look at maps that show roads or trails to the summit. See if escape routes have been provided, and find out what kind of local emergency and search and rescue services are available. And I might note, in our visit to Hawaii, it was a very active rescue program. We got to see them in action at Diamond Head, another crater there just outside of Honolulu, and they do ongoing training and preparation throughout the year, so it's amazing what they have in place in Hawaii. Now, you want to pack protective attire is another tip. Determine equipment and clothing based on what type of material your volcano is likely to expel and your potential proximity to explosions, Lopes says. A visit to the tourist spots at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park shouldn't require more than a sturdy pair of shoes. If you are hiking on rough, brittle volcanic terrain such as Erta'ale, wear long pants, hiking boots, and a pair of leather gloves. A hard hat or helmet and protective gargles are advisable when visiting an active volcano that spits out Strombolian explosions such as Yashur or Tana Island, the major attraction in the South Pacific archipelago nation of Vanuatu. The more remote the area, the more emergency equipment you'll want to bring, Lopes says. Carry the same essentials you would select for any challenging mountain or rock climbing excursion. Find out if there are cell, radio, or satellite communication services, and always carry plenty of water. Prepare for plumes. Ingrid Schmidt, a geologist and tour coordinator at Volcano Adventures, advises carrying a gas mask to expeditions with fumaroles. Now, these are openings that release toxic gas and steam, such as near Egongo. Even non-erupting volcanoes may produce a plume of gas and lots of fumaroles, Lopes says. Lava that is entering the sea, as is common in Hawaii, can produce steam clouds that contain hydrochloric acid. Breathing these fumes may cause respiratory problems, eye and skin irritation. Beware that the wind may change directions quickly. If you find yourself in perilous volcanic atmosphere without a gas mask, Lopes suggests that a wet cloth over your nose and mouth might help. And it's interesting, they had a lot of warning signs around Kilauea when we were there in Hawaii. And, you know, these warning signs talked about keep an eye on the wind, keep an eye on other conditions. It was amazing. They did a good job of keeping you educated and updated throughout our time there. And you want to obey those signs. Always stay within barriers and obey restricted area signs. Last September, three people visiting the Solfatara volcano crater and Pozzuoli, a popular tourist attraction near Naples, Italy, died when an 11-year-old boy wandered past a barrier and fell into a pit as parents tried to rescue him. If you aren't sure you have firm lava to stand on, tread very carefully and be aware of the weight you bear on each leg. Try to walk near the edges of flow channels rather than over the middle, Lop says. Listen for crunchy noises underfoot and look for signs of broken crust. It was interesting, our walk through lava fields in Hawaii, you didn't hear a whole lot of crunching because the settlement had occurred over centuries, and so you got this really unique feeling. And then going into a lava tube, this is kind of a tunnel, if you will, or a cave where the lava is like a little hose and it's opened up and you can stand up in these things. It's incredibly eerie, dark, and no echo. Avoid the bombs is our next tip. Explosive bursts within the volcano's main vent can shoot magma bombs into the air, accompanied by loud thunderous bangs and a fire dancing of falling cinders. It's a joy to watch, but keep in mind that given the volatility of volcanic activity, there is no established standard for the safe distance from an eruption. Watch the direction and range of flying bombs. If dodging becomes impracticable, LOPS recommends finding a mound or a large boulder for shelter and covering your head with a backpack. When a helmet or hard hat is unavailable, running is advisable only when bombs appear to be pellet-sized and you can outrun their range, she says. Take care at lava flows. While most visitors to Kilauea head to the Jagger Museum's overlook to view the eruption, others choose to walk over the uneven terrain formed by years of recent flows to watch the red-hot lava running into the sea. Always check with park rangers before hiking out to lava flows, says Jessica Farrakhani, a public affairs specialist at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park. Check the park website and watch for daily updates on the USGS Hawaiian Volcano Observatory website for latest conditions. A good safety resource is the park's Lava Safe video at YouTube.com. And trust me, those park people there, they really did stay with conditions. They were very helpful. Consider other dangers. Among LOP's most frightening experiences, exploring an active volcano where a pack of unfriendly dogs and a gun-toting farmer might appear. There are times when the place itself is more dangerous than the volcano, she said. Effort Cooper concurs, safe access can be a problem in remote regions such as Kamchatka in the Russian Far East, the Aleutians, or Mount Erebus. On occasion, volcanoes may become unsafe due to political unrest. The trek up 11,378-foot Nyiragongo remains popular despite the ongoing violence in Congo. And tours to Etteleo, the volcano I visited, have grown since a 2012 incident in which five European tourists were killed by rebels. The death of a German tourist in 2017 was deemed a tragic accident. To help evaluate whether your destination is safe, check out the State Department's Travel Advisory System. As you ponder where to see Earth in its perpetual process of reinvention with 1,500 potentially active volcanoes worldwide, there are plenty of choices. Here are some sites recommended by the experts. Sulfur Fissure, Þingvellir National Park, Iceland. You won't necessarily see lava in Iceland, Lop says, but you will enjoy wonderful volcanic landscapes, geysers, and geothermal areas. Sulfur is a crack between North American and Eurasian tectonic plates filled in with some of the clearest water on Earth. You can actually see the surface expression of these two plates spreading apart, she says. Then there's Dalo, Ethiopia. This site, a half-day drive from Ertel, is the most beautiful place I've ever seen in my life, Lop says. It's Earth's lowest land volcano at 158 feet below the sea, and its sulfurous geysers glow in mineral colors. And then there's Sierra Negra, Isabella Island, Galapagos Island. The Galapagos Archipelago delivers remote volcanic habitats, an array of invigorating activities, and the blue-footed booby. Everett Cooper suggests visiting seahorse-shaped Isabella Island for a challenging 7-mile hike on Sierra Negra volcano when you can peer into the depths of the world's greatest volcanic calderas. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Armchair Traveler. Hope you've enjoyed learning more about volcanoes and that you've enjoyed your journey. I'm Mike Edwards, and I've been reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of our program intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. Questions and comments can be directed to 919-832-5138. Bye-bye.